Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Be Bold America. I'm your host, Jill Cody. Be Bold America is a live biweekly talk show for those who are motivated to step out with the bold actions necessary to reunite this country, fight for democracy, and learn what they can keep doing, stop doing, and start doing to reclaim our democratic republic. What are you doing to save our democracy? Our future depends on it. Our program today is Me the People. Starting to feel nervous or overwhelmed? Let's fix that. Forget duty and patriotism for a moment. Ignore those who've used harsh words such as apathetic, ignorant, lazy, or who have accused you of shirking your patriotic duty. Take a cleansing breath, put your hand on your heart, and listen. This is your country. You deserve to feel comfy in it. Once you understand more about basic civics, citizenship, and communication, you can involve yourself in your own way and on your own terms. Wonder how freedom is like a frozen pizza? Then Ms. Fontana's book, Me the People, and its accompanying 60-second civics lessons, found at MeThePeopleVote.com, will tell you how. Her 60-second civics videos don't contain spin, stress, or judgment. If you have an interest in voting and know more about your government, but can't take the politics of it all, you will enjoy this interview. Lisa Ann Fontana is the author of Me the People, an easy-to-read book that provides tools to help you decide on and then vote for the next president of the United States of America. Lisa Ann didn't cast her first vote for anything until she was 35 years old. She tried to buy a book to teach herself about politics or government so she could vote with confidence, but the bookstore shelves were lined with negativity. Instead, she researched it herself and became an expert. Using her background as a professional actor, Lisa Ann created the character Citizen Cupcakes and designed welcome parties to help current non-voters get comfy in their country. Her focus is on putting democracy back where it belongs, in the hands of you and me, the people. We have big things to do. Lisa Ann, it is such a pleasure to have you on Be Bold America.
Jill, thank you so much for having me. I've been so looking forward to our talk. I just think the world of everything you're doing to keep democracy alive, and not just alive, but thriving in the country.
Well, thank you. That's very nice to say. Well, I think I've been trying to get you on the show for about a year, so you're very busy and a real catch yourself. So first, how can we get comfy in our country with a nationwide pandemic, the post office under attack to slow mail-in ballots, and so many unemployed and facing evictions?
I think that there's so much going on right now. The first thing, and it sounds so simple, but we're just not doing it. And I swear to you, it's just take a deep breath and know that we're going to get through this, and that if we pull together with the people in our towns and our communities and we take care of each other, we're not just going to survive it, we're going to be able to thrive through it. I am acutely aware of how this is going. What I love doing is being with people in person, because as soon as you meet me, you know that I mean you no harm and that I care deeply, not just about the country, but about every single person in it, regardless of our socioeconomic status or whether we're black or white or gay or straight, that none of that matters. And when you meet me in person, you immediately know that's the truth of me. Once I move to the internet, where we're trying so hard to sort of live in this virtual life, it's a challenge for me, because I feel very disconnected with my fellow citizens at a time when we really need to be closer. And so we can take small steps for ourselves. Like, for me, I always recommend people don't be uninformed, but avoid being inundated. How much news do you have to watch in a day? Learn what you need to know to be informed, and use it to make things rather than use it to feel depressed or more upset. It's a hard moment in time, but the way to get through it is to constantly focus on your personal goals for yourself, for your family, for your local community, and really holding fast and tight to what you want to have happen. makes it so much easier to get out of bed when we spend so much time fearing what will happen. And being out of work or having your job disappear through no fault of your own, there's just no way around it. It is hard. And when your government isn't doing its job, I see that the Senate is now taking a break while those of us who no longer have industries are simply sitting at home wondering what's to become of us. Focusing again on your family and on yourself to just find that calm, that's step number one. If you're ready, so if you're somebody who hasn't voted before, I think now, even though it's upsetting, we're seeing the full weight of what it means when you do or don't vote, when you are or are not involved. So if you're feeling like, oh, now I understand because no one ever taught me civics or explained to me how the government worked, this might be an excellent time to bring yourself into the process so that we can fix the issue and make sure it doesn't happen again. And that's what I have spent a lot of the last few months doing, is people who are feeling like a pig on roller skates, just very unwieldy and very unsure. You know, if you come over, we throw every Saturday night on Facebook Live, we throw a welcome party. Now, normally I throw them for people, for large groups, block parties, out in person, libraries, we travel. The most fun I ever had was doing a pregnant yoga women's group because we did it on floor. There's so much fun to be had by coming in and reconnecting with what it means, what democracy means and what it means to be an American. And when you leave the party, you leave feeling good or better, happy or ecstatic. I take nothing from you, and I give you at least the joy of the evening. We make a lot of silly fun. We poke a lot of fun at the government as we train you on what basic civics are to kind of get your feet wet so you feel comfortable sort of entering into democracy. So that when you leave, even though I'm not able to change what's happening, but I can certainly change how we all come together to change it in the future. And the first thing to do is to make sure everybody knows they're welcome and wanted in that process, because quite frankly, if we'd all been in that process to begin with, I don't think we'd be losing jobs. I think we'd be thriving through it. We'd all be pulling it together, and we'd all be on the same page if there were more of us in the process, if that makes sense.
It does. Well, who are your audience that you're looking for your book and your videos and your welcome parties?
So my audience is most everyone from about the age of 28 to every year it grows. So every year it stays still around 28, and it grows from 58 to 59. We're up to about age 62 now, because it's been about that many years, think about the decades where we've been removing civics, the education system. Mm-hmm. So for anyone out there who doesn't know, civics is the study of the rights and duties of government. You know, that's what civics is understanding how your government functions so you can find your place within it. If we don't teach you that, then you don't have the opportunity to find your place in what? So that's my audience. I do have, I used to do tons of groups in person. With a pandemic, we can't do it right now. But for students who are graduating high school students, they feel a great deal of pressure. They don't trust their government. They don't think it's for them. Many of them believe you can't run for office unless you come from a political family, which I didn't know what that meant until Sherrod was pointing out that the Clintons are a family who run. The Bushes are a family who run. It's a family affair for so many politicians. And to have them graduating and not know that, it's very sad to me. So most of my time is spent with adults, people who get around 28 and realize, well, I've never voted before, and I can't tell anyone because they make me feel so badly about it. So I won't. I'll go looking for a book. And then my book is very open. You have my email address. I spend a great deal of time fielding just those questions. So that's my audience of people, is largely adults, many people who just start to have children, and they don't want their children to grow up in a world where they're their democracy. So they start leaning in a safe space where we serve cupcakes and we are judgment-free.
Well, my grandfather always said to me, vote early and often. And when I was a little girl, I kind of laughed, and I didn't really know what that meant. But then now I realize, vote as soon as you're able. You know, don't wait until Election Day. if you're getting a mail-in ballot, then do vote then, not, you know, right on election day. And often, as there are elections, you know, in 2010, it was a mid-year election. The Democrats didn't come out as they should have, the often part. They skipped that one. And, you know, we lost the House and the Senate, and then the gerrymandering happened. Now, in your 60-second videos, how do you explain the Constitution in 60 seconds?
Well, you don't. You break them down. So if you're an immigrant and you come to this country and you want to become a citizen, you have books that you can buy and then these citizenship flashcards that you can take home. And it's 100 questions that are designed to help you pass your citizenship test, whereupon they ask you any 10 out of the 100. Well, one way it's just memorizing, and there's a question on one side and an answer on the other. But for me, I didn't feel like that was enough. And so what we did is we took the answers, we broke them down into individual videos, and we gave a little bit more of the rest of the story. So inside of a minute and a half or 2 minutes, we're giving you just a piece. So there are something like 20 questions on the Constitution. They're already broken down to ask you those basic things to help you understand with the freedom of the press. Just can you name a freedom? How many freedoms can you name? When we give you a little bit more information about the freedom of the press and why it's in there, about freedom of religion and why the Constitution wanted to put it together. The Bill of Rights, those are the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. First of all, we break down what is a Constitution, its agreement across the country, and then what are amendments and what is their value to this sheet of paper. When you don't have any exposure to it at all, it's really helpful to have people, because that's how I entered it, to have someone break it down so that the Constitution's a big word and it's a big sheet of paper and it seems to come with all of this information. And if I want you to lean in, we have to make it much more accessible to the people. And I'm counting myself, anyone out there who thinks that I came by this online, by this absolutely backwards, upside down, and all by myself. So there's no judgment here. So that's how we work it, that if you're on the train or you're in your car, you've got 2 minutes that you're waiting for someone to meet you for dinner, you can pop on a 60-second civics and you can learn. While you've got the kids in the bath and they're happy playing, you can hit a button and you can learn a little piece. And I encourage people, listen to them over and over. They're so short and they're so concise that if it takes you 6 months to a year, by the end of the year, you could pass a citizenship test. And, of course, we're not going to test you, but think about how great it would feel to know enough about your country that you could, because that's when you start to see your place in it. When you start to understand the mechanics of it, you start to see your place in it. And so that's how we do it, very slowly in very small pieces and over 100 videos.
In the next 30 seconds before our first break, how is freedom like a frozen pizza?
Well, in the piece I talk about, freedom is about taking control of yourself and the good of the people around you. So if you have enough training in civics and we're all in this together, then we do things for the greater good. You can't wear no shoes, no shirt, no service. The reason for that is because it can cause disease and it can cause other people to get sick or be inconvenienced in a way that can hurt the community. Staying at home and eating a frozen pizza over ordering it during a national pandemic, that's how you stand up for your country. I don't go out and get you sick. You don't have to serve me and get sick. And that's how we take care of each other. So we want to be free. Sometimes that means making sure we are not free to move about our space.
Well, thank you. You're listening to Be Bold America on KSQD 90.7 FM. Many voices, one station. Listen worldwide online from KSQD.org homepage or catch up on previous shows by visiting the KSQD Be Bold America website or through your favorite podcast platform. I'm your host, Jill Cody.
KSQD thanks the following recent donors who support our wonderful programs. Mark Conover, Jock and Krishna Delacroix, Oren Hutchinson, Julie Boudreau, David Levan, Marcy Kagan. You inspire us to give our very best at 90.7 FM. May you also inspire others to donate on our website, ksqd.org.
Today, our topic is Me the People. We're speaking with author of Me the People, Lisa Ann Fontana, a.k.a. Citizen Cupcakes, whose focus is on putting democracy back where it belongs, in the hands of you and me, the people. Visit her website at methepeoplevote.com. Now, Lisa, I have a friend of mine who works for the Santa Clara County Registrar's Office. Now, Santa Clara County is in California and is better known as Silicon Valley. And he wrote a letter to the editor that got actually printed in the Mercury News, and he said that nearly half of eligible voters see voting as a waste of time. So why do people avoid politics and or voting, and what can be done to motivate them?
Well, I can demonstrate it easy by giving you this information or this little story. When you walk into a Starbucks and you've never voted before, you've never been in there before. I have a cousin who visits from Norway a few times a year, and she had never been to a Starbucks in America, and she couldn't wait to go in. And as soon as she walked in, they said, "Welcome to Starbucks. How can I help you?" And she said, "Honestly, I don't know. I'm new to Starbucks." And they said, "Oh, fantastic. First of all, welcome. Thank you for picking us over all the places you could go. Second, what kind of person do you think you are? Are you a coffee drinker? Are you a tea drinker? Do you like to come in for food? Where do you fall into the whole coffee house world?" "Oh, okay. I think I drink coffee." "Excellent. Now, do you like hot? Do you like cold?" So there's this whole experience where the first second they get you, they are trained to welcome you, inspire you, figure out what makes you tick so that you will become a lifelong Starbucks customer. Now, you cut over to being an American here. You live your whole life, and let's say you're lucky enough not to have gotten in any trouble. The first time you are going to interact with your government is when you walk into the DMV to get your driver's license. And outside of the very few people who have good experiences with them, DMVs are horrible places to walk into, filled with workers who are exhausted and worked over and unhappy and stuck, and they deal with the public all day, and the last thing they want to do is be polite to you. If you're told, because that's what most people tell you, go to the DMV to register to vote, that immediately you say to yourself, "Oh, I'm not sure I care enough to go in and register to vote there." But then you get lucky and somebody registers you on the streets, and now you're registered to vote by a deputy voter registrar or someone who's empowered to register you. The next step is that you have to understand how, what, where. Most people do not know the difference between a general election, a midterm election, and a primary. They don't know the difference between voting in their state for state issues versus what it means to vote in a national election. Now, I say if one person doesn't vote and one person doesn't get it, then it's okay. That's their fault. But if 92 million Americans aren't voting and aren't seeming to be interested, we have to assume that they were failed. So in my book, I write that there's that age where it's no longer okay to ask these questions and to be ignorant of voting. There's also that age when you come to realize, I guess I don't care enough about this, because if they thought it was important, wouldn't someone have taught us? When we're in first grade and second grade, they come through, the firefighters, and teach us about fire safety, because fires are so important. And they come 3 and 4 years in a row, and we get plastic hats that say firemen on them, and we get coloring books. And then the dentist people come through, and they give us toothbrushes and toothpaste, and we get to chew on those tabs because they've made it fun for us. But as an adult looking back, the whole point of sharing that with us is that dental hygiene keeps kids from getting all kinds of horrible illnesses that could kill them. Why aren't we making government, civics, democracy that important, that we are having politicians routinely stopping by schools, and we are having, in my case, I play Citizen Cupcakes. We also have Democracy Donuts for the boys. That those people aren't going to schools all across the country to show kids what is a polling place? What does it mean to be part of democracy? Cast your vote. How does that work for you? What's the fun behind it? Why does it matter? So that by the time you've gotten to be 18 years old and you gave the government those 12 years of your life, you at least leave knowing you are part of something so important and so true. I believe it was President Ronald Reagan who said that democracy isn't something we pass through our children in the bloodstream. We have to fight for it and protect it, and then we have to hand it to them so they can do the same. Well, imagine right now what you're handing over. No one knows what it is. So how can they possibly see its value or get excited when they don't know what it is or why it's valuable? I wonder if that makes sense.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And also, I believe it was Ronald Reagan who said that we were always one generation away from losing our democracy. The word democracy is a noun, but in my view, I think it should be a verb. You know, democracy is not a passive act. I mean, I remember John Lewis saying that democracy is not a state, it's an act. So it takes activities, looking at your videos, clicking the button to register on your website or anywhere else. There's so many websites that can register people or link them to the appropriate site to do that. And
yes, that's one. That's, I think, what happens is a big reason we aren't seeing democracy root itself is because of that. We're always being that one generation away, that if most Americans don't know what it is or why it matters, because government really has worked hard to make certain that we're keeping this in from us, it really can't come as a surprise. So we were talking earlier about the climate change issues. So we've got this world in peril, and inclusion, education, inspiration. To get there, we have to start by welcoming people. You know, we can't get people to tackle these important issues if we're not all on the same page. And it's hard to be on the same page of what we should all do together when we don't all have a basic understanding. So many of these groups out there, they're so focused on getting people registered to vote or shaming them into voting. But if you don't know anything about the process and you lack that understanding of how your country works, it's just not going to happen. For example, recently with the League of Women Voters, they just passed on teaming up with Me the People to welcome people in. Now, they're wonderful people, and they're working hard to make sure everyone can vote. But all of these groups, they miss that fundamental reality. So When We All Vote, run by the Obama Foundation Group, Team Fair Fight out of Georgia, the League of Women Voters, and so many more, they don't recognize that voting happens as a result of that understanding, that inclusion, and that inspiration. Even Bernie Sanders, he himself had nothing but passionate supporters, but twice they didn't come out and vote for him. And it's not accomplished by sort of bullying people or assuming that if you can get them registered, they actually know the rest. It happens, at least in my world, when we get people to really lean in and actually want to go vote and kind of we light that spark of democracy. It happens when we acknowledge how confusing this can be for people who've not been trained, and then we welcome them in, train them up, and then we offer to be there every step of the way. I can't tell you how many times people contacted us from their polling place. They were not being allowed to vote because their signature might have been wrong, or there was just a question. And so often, polling place workers just say, you can vote a provisional ballot, but you can't vote the full ballot. Well, most of those people who are new, they don't know the difference. They get upset and they leave. Being able to contact someone like myself who can just walk you through how to be heard, how to sort of stand your ground in a very, we think of polling places, those of us who vote a lot, as these wonderful places, but they're a little bit more like haunted houses for people who don't have that foot of democracy. And so, honestly, I have always known this problem was easy to fix. I find myself to be a pretty smart person, and to have missed out on 35 years of democracy, wow, something had to have been broken for me to have missed it. And so as we connect those back together, we get quotes from people that just, whether it's big or small, people are making big changes in their life. We had one girl who was deciding to run for an office. She said, I don't know if I can do it, but I think I'm going to run for, it was something to do with the school, and she didn't know she had that option, but now that she felt trained up and jazzed, she was diving out there to do it. We had a little boy who was 9 years old who got a pothole fixed. He didn't think he had any value because he was nine. We showed him how to use his ability as a member of America, and he went out and got that pothole fixed. That really, it's just like, think about if all of Disney World was connected to a single plug, and the plug just had to be plugged into the wall, it won't matter how much more lights we make or how many more beautiful rides we build, until we plug it into the wall, nothing's going to come to life. And believe it or not, what we do is so simple, but it actually is that connector. Most people don't find that, they don't find that connection simply because we've not bridged the gap between people in the know and you and me, you know, the regular people.
Well, I actually think there are people that want to cut that bridge, you know, with voter suppression and discouraging people to vote, because the less people that go out to vote, those that are in power are more likely to stay in power. So we have to build the bridge sometimes, even over to that ghost house. You mentioned earlier about climate change, and I wanted to let the listeners know that we were talking via email, and we mentioned climate change because how hot it is here in California, and the Santa Cruz area today is of 106 degrees. Now, that's got to be breaking a record, because I can't imagine, you know, a coastal town like Santa Cruz ever being 106 degrees before. And also, when you were talking about the young woman who was interested in running for office, I just wanted to make sure you knew about the program Run for Something. Have you heard of them?
We have. What I try to do when people ask me is to get them to Run for Something. For anyone who doesn't know that, it's helping you learn what you need to know. What I like doing is breaking down every step of this, finding where it's broken, and then finding either who's already doing it or creating what's missing. And in this case, once people get sort of shined up and ready, that's the next need. What I look for is to try and find bipartisan or nonpartisan places where people can go learn, because the people that come into me, the people, they usually don't have a party because they've never voted. They don't even know if they're conservative or liberal. They're not there, and we don't teach parties. So we work hard to try and find them places that are bipartisan, nonpartisan. But I don't know if you've checked them out, but I've been very impressed with what they do there.
They had been previous guests last year, and they're a very impressive organization. Just trying to when you somebody has that interest, then they take their hand and walk them through the process on how to run for office. And I think more and more young people need to think about that as an option. I never knew it was an option when I was, in college. And so I think more people need to know that it's out there for them, not just the, older crowd, if I can say it that way.
And I think in particular, that's something to keep an eye on, that so many people are being part of building that bridge. My goal is to work with people who are in the know and show them the proper way to reach out, because they're doing it wrong. And it's a teeny tiny shift that will make a huge difference, so that you can start bridging that gap. Because if you are in the know and someone isn't, you can really quickly bring them on board, and then now you're talking to individual people who can help you with things like, oh, you might be interested in running for something. Why me? Sure, why not you? Those interactions happen so much more freer when we remove the blame, we add in the welcoming, and then we bridge that gap, and we start to, like what you're saying, where we're seeing people try to crush democracy. And it's easy to do with a group of people who are not, if you have people who are not educated. I'm forgetting his name, Maximilian Robespierre. He's a French lawyer who was part of the revolution. And he said, the secret of freedom lies in educating people, whereas the secret of tyranny is in simply keeping them ignorant. And this is a really fast way that you can jump from what we do at Meet the People. It's the beginning. We simply welcome you, and then we send you out the door to go and learn and do and be. And then after that, people in the know, I expect them to take you by the hand and take you as far and as fast as they can. And that's, to me, how we change democracy into thriving.
Well, we welcome people here at KSQD.org. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Be Bold America. I'm your host, Jill Cody. Our topic is Me the People. And we're talking with Citizen Cupcakes, or also known as Lisa Ann Fontana. Lisa Ann is using her experience as a professional actor to help current non-voters to feel more comfortable with their country. You can even also register to vote there.
Join KSQD tonight at 7 p.m. for our monthly program, Reflections on Buddhism. Each program features a conversation between Patrick McGinn and the Venerable Tenzin, a local Buddhist nun and teacher. This month's What Does Happiness Look Like During a Pandemic? Many of the ways in which we usually find happiness have been closed off or limited by the pandemic, and perhaps you find yourself wondering what happiness really is. Join us for a look at the myths and realities of happiness and a conversation about how we go about finding it. That's Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. on 90.7 FM, K-Squid. Many voices, one station.
Now we're back to our bold and impressive guest, Lisa Ann Fontana. So Lisa, for those who do vote, they might wonder, why should we care about unlikely voters? Why should we encourage a group of people who can't bring themselves to raise their hand and be counted? Why invite them into the process?
It's an easy answer. It's hard sometimes for people in the know because, well, the reason why is that they were never brought into the process before. And so it's difficult for people who are in the know to understand why many of us didn't get to that same place, politically savvy, governmentally aware, and active. So if they could, rather than just tearing everyone down and blaming us for being sort of the problem, they'd likely choose to extend that hand and bring us along in the process. And so that's the biggest issue that happens. And you wonder why you should encourage these people. It's because it's the same idea as Starbucks. Why encourage someone to order a cup of coffee who's never walked into a Starbucks before? Well, it's because they've never had the opportunity. Someone who's never drank coffee, someone who's never heard of Starbucks, is that a reason to keep them out of the process? No, that's a reason to bring them in, get them excited, make them part of the group and of the culture. Left out, you sort of stay left out. So my personal mission is to turn those current non-voters into informed voters, globally engaged citizens, and tomorrow's leaders. And then I use myself as that giant beacon of success. So when people say, well, why should they matter? I say, because that was me. I've been in this room for 2 hours talking or when I lecture, and people say, yeah, but you know what you're doing. I say, whoa, 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 whoa. I was a non-voter, and now I'm this welcome party powerhouse now after 35 years of being nowhere. And I find myself to be a tremendously valuable American and citizen, and I don't say that to impress people, but to impress upon you. You're just like me. How many millions of amazing Americans who are both current and aspiring are just waiting to be dazzling? And so instead of thinking of us as lazy or apt, try imagining us as this unstoppable potential. And then we just need to be welcomed by people like you, people who are in the know. So for those of you who are current non-voters and you've ever found yourself saying, shame on you, to someone who doesn't vote, I have just now going to deputize you into a welcome ambassador. And so here are three little things you can do that will make it will change. If you are someone who's ever said shame on you or say, how come you don't vote or accidentally called someone a bad American, it truly, all my research shows that you do it because you believe in the country and you honestly think you're helping. I can't tell you how many people have said rude things to me and then 2 minutes later offered me brownies or to get me coffee. They're not saying it to hurt you. They genuinely want you to become part of the country, and they think that's a good way to do it. So I'm going to tell you that doesn't work because wagging your finger in someone's face upsets them, and you, if it was done to you. So flip it over real quick and try this just to prove me wrong. Next time you meet someone who's a non-voter, admit that it's complicated. Extend your hand to them. And then offer any help that you can give them. Welcome them in and say, can I help you? And if you're stuck for anything else, say, you know what? I heard of this crazy lady out there. She's called Citizen Cupcake. She's got this weird cupcake wig, and she hangs out on her own website. She does these really weird things with civics. But people tend, they really love her, and she throws welcome parties to welcome people in if they don't understand civics. I want to give you that website so you can check it out. It's free. There's no charge here. Just try changing the approach to someone, and you will be floored at the number of people who will tear up, who will laugh, who will actually breathe out. Oh, I thought you were going to yell at me. I get so, whenever I admit it, people get mad at me. And then you will hear them admit to you, what happened? I don't vote because I didn't learn how, and I feel stupid asking. I didn't vote because my family didn't vote. I had a baby, and I just got so busy, and I forgot. And you'll hear every excuse, but what you'll also hear is them confiding in you that they actually do have value. They do want to know everything about their country, and maybe they're not going to be as prolific. I meet people every day who are unbelievable Americans. I can't keep up with them. They read every article. They are part of every issue. They sign every petition. So maybe we all can't be that, but we can certainly all maneuver ourselves onto the same page. So when climate change comes up, people who are in parties serving personal agendas can't rip us apart because we don't have that shared bond of loving our country and understanding our country. You put that in, then we can all look. I use this a lot to help people understand that when you have a building that's on fire, and it's in the middle of two counties, and from one county comes one fire chief, and from the other county comes another, and they both stand in front of the burning building. Now, they may disagree on how to put out the, but they agree that the house or building is burning. And that's what parties tend to do. They tend to start making us feel like we are not allowed to believe that the building is burning. When the reality is, if we're all training up in our civics and getting to know our country and our place in it, we all are going to have different ideas on how to put the fire out, but we are also going to be on that same page to be in unison, but we agree the building is burning. Does that make sense?
It does, and I want to make sure I've gotten all three things. I know one was admit that it's complicated, and I think the second was offer help, that, you know, it's free, no charge, and give your website, MeThePeopleVote.com. But what was the third item?
So it comes right in the middle, is to extend your hand and welcome them.
Ah.
Literally put out your hand and say, let me be the first person to welcome you to your country. You deserve to be here, and you are needed. So let me help you in any way I can. Not just to become a voter, but to become an active citizen. That's where it gets fun, that you can lean into democracy in your own way, as long as someone tells you. We always had that phrase where you say, I didn't know what I didn't know and I thought I knew. Most people really don't know that the country cares about them, that they have any value for their human, their own fellow man. And I say to you, my finger's in your face now. No, no, no. You may not think that way. You have to look in the mirror. When you watch my welcome party, there's a whole section where I ask you, take a look at the mirror and just honestly ask yourself, is it you? I call it dynamicism, and that's dynamic, housed inside of us, its potential. There's so much dynamicism locked up inside of you. And as soon as you feel comfy in your country, we've cracked that a dynamic you gets to come out. And if we're all bringing the best of what we have to offer to our local community, family, friends, to a state, to the country, on whatever level you feel you are, then we're being that real American. It's so much further beyond voting. But voting's where we try and focus because we think it's a jumping off point. In fact, you got to kick it back earlier when you're an immigrant, when you graduate to become an American, we throw you a welcome party. Welcome to your country. When you're born in this country, we don't train you, we don't welcome you, and we don't bring you into any process. I'm fixing that part. That is literally the unplugged wire from the outlet. Once you do that, then all of that is just waiting. So when you meet somebody and you're in the know, boom, you do those three things. You've actually just lit a human being on fire.
Well, if I can dovetail onto your welcoming people, in my book, America Abandoned, I wrote about some of the founding fathers. People know about George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, but there are many people that signed the Declaration of Independence. And once they did, they all became traitors. And I just wanted to share some stories of a few of them that we don't hear about because they can't welcome us, yet they created this country. You know, these brave men created a country the world had never seen before. The idea that people would govern themselves, which is basically democracy, what it means to be able to govern ourselves so we have freedom and our liberty without an oligarch or a monarch or a dictator, was really revolutionary at the time. And one of them was a very wealthy man named Thomas Nelson, and he died in debt at age 50 because he'd mortgaged his home to pay for the revolution. But the British seized his home and lands and damaged it so severely that he was unable to repay his mortgage. Here's a man that gave everything in his life for us today. And then another one is Robert Morris, a Philadelphia merchant. He lost 150 ships at sea during the war that led him to ruin. And another one, John Hart, and then I'll just leave it at three. He died alone and miserable 3 years later after he signed the Declaration because his wife had died soon before he signed the Declaration of Independence. And they had 13 children. They needed to be found homes with sympathetic families to hide them from the British and conservative loyalists. And John Hart never saw any of his children again. So when we think about when we think about democracy, I try to link back to the people that created it and aren't here anymore to welcome us to the country. But I'm sure they would when you realize what they gave up for us to have it.
And I would love to see some of those stories told. Part of the collaboration effort, I'm hoping at some point we'll get a sponsor to be able to start going into schools. Part of it is to come in and have a Democracy Donuts character or Citizen Cupcakes bringing the living history, to be able to see a fun little play, a parable about the Constitution, and to throw in those moments where we all know that that last true measure of devotion is giving your life for your country, but it's also knowing that when you get up in the morning and you're taking care of your own family and your own friends, part of your day, of what should be part of it in your heart and in your head, is your country, how you take care of what's around you. And we've really made that so unimportant because over time, just as Reagan predicted, democracy is one generation away because we have to create and recreate it every single day. The great thing, in my opinion, is that we have that option. So right now, democracy has taken a pretty big hit. It's very fixable, and it just takes all of us making a decision to say, oh, let's just start fixing it. For me, I know what I can do. I can help the very beginning and begin tapping into people's dynamicism. But for other people, where can you fit in? What can you do? Stories. I did not know the story of John Hart. I did not know the story of Thomas Nelson. I'm very, that it just makes me even happier that they did so much for a country, for people like me, that they were never going to meet.
That's right. That's why I like to share those stories every now and then. And I think when you're talking about fixing it, that is very easy to fix it. I wonder if fixing is a verb. As I said, I like to make democracy a verb. You know, it's just taking that first step, I think. So what is, you know, now we also, most of us just live on social media a lot. What is social media doing to protect our upcoming presidential election? The role of social media in 2016 was just a disaster.
It was, I would say, abysmal. And honestly, for anyone who doesn't know, all of the social media outlets have become far greater, more influential, richer, and more capable than television and cable TV. And yet, those groups of people have to follow guidelines that keep information fair. They have to fact check themselves. It's not really okay for them to put out blatantly wrong or false information, particularly in their advertisements. Whereas online, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn even, they're not held to those same standards. And so what happened last time in the election is people were free to blatantly lie, which was, I have no words.
What's interesting is that with products, there are truth in advertising laws, but with politics, there are none. There are no truth in advertising laws in politics because I'm sure they think it's free speech. So again, we have to individually know the difference that you can't sell a child's seat for a car. You have to tell people exactly what the seat does and how sturdy it is and that sort of thing. Where in our politics, there are no truth in advertising laws. But before we get on, it is actually time for another break. You're listening to Be Bold America on KSQD 90.7 FM. Many voices, one station. I'm your host, Jill Cody. Listen to the show worldwide online from KSQD.org homepage or catch up on programs by... Today, our topic is Me the People. We're speaking with author of Me the People and public speaker Lisa Ann Fontana, also known as Citizen Cupcakes.
Hi, I'm Tom Hartman, your host for Progressive Talk on KSQID 90.7 FM, community radio for the Central Coast, 4 p.m. weekdays. KSQD is a vital media resource for listeners in Santa Cruz and Monterey counties and worldwide on the web. Please help support this station by making a contribution to keep the station thriving. Go to ksqd.org and give what you can to help keep shows like mine coming to you daily at 90.7 FM. You know, with six large corporations owning most of the media, it's essential that listeners support grassroots, locally run radio stations like KSQD. Community radio is responsive to its listeners and isn't afraid to challenge the status quo. Please join me, Tom Hartman, in supporting KSQD 90.7 FM, community radio for the Central Coast, by making your pledge today online at ksqd.org. That's 90.7 FM, KSQD. Catch me right here at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Thank you, and tag, you're it.
Welcome back, and Lisa, we're speaking with Lisa Ann Fontana, a.k.a. Citizen Cupcakes, whose focus is on putting democracy back where it belongs, in the hands of you and me, the people. And she makes it easy for you with her 60-second civics videos. Now, back to social media, Lisa. I think it's important for people to know there are no truth in advertising laws for political ads, and that's whether it's TV, radio, or social media.
No, and I was happy to see, and you had shared this information with me today, that Facebook is going to start putting labels to redirect readers to authoritative information about upcoming presidential elections, so that when you're looking at something, you can actually get some real-time fact-checking information. When we have our welcome parties, that there's six videos, and the whole total, if you sat down and just had a party by yourself, it would be 38 minutes to watch the videos straight through. But we spend a bit of time, maybe 8 minutes, on how to avoid the media and think for yourself. And the reason that we did that is it's easier than you think to be able to fact check and clear up misinformation. But you have to be willing to do it. So first off, I tell people, if you see it on Twitter or you read it on Facebook, you need to just assume it's not true. That's the safest thing to do. If you do read it and it does seem interesting to you, or you really want to believe it, then you can begin to research it. And when you research something, I send you to more credible news sources. And while each person gets to decide what's credible to them, credible to me are news outlets that really adhere to fairness and accuracy in their reporting and have a standard reputation of standing up for their work, where they're willing to stand behind their work. So fringe magazines and locations, and just because it's on the internet, does not mean that the information is factual. And there are ways to look it up and find two or three other sources that correctly back up what you're finding. To me, it takes the upset out of when you're on Facebook in a day, I find out that Joe Biden is both the best person in the world and the worst person in the world. The current president has done these wonderful things and he's done these horrific things. And half the time, neither one of them is talking about that factual. And so it gets so muddy and so confusing. I say to people, it's in my book. We spend a whole chapter on it. But for free, watch the welcome party videos and we walk you through what to do, how to investigate and respond, that you have the freedom to ignore something that you've heard and move on. That's a big problem. Once Starbucks, and I use them because so many people know them, they were being hammered by someone who had put out something online saying what bad people they were and they didn't support the war. Long story short, someone did put out that email. It was a sergeant within the Army. He was having a bad day. He didn't know anything he had to say. He said awful things, and that traveled around the world for 5 more years. Mm-hmm. And so people were sharing it. Share this with 10 people. Tell everyone how bad they are. I picked up the phone and called the company. I waited online, talked to the company, and they were really grateful because, of course, they have a whole section on their website that shows exactly why it's not true, a secondary letter from that sergeant deeply apologizing, and information about how they do support physically with the coffee that they send and the people that they send out to give coffee service to the men and women serving overseas. If you're willing to take the time, we can easily show you how to take that off your plate. But the most helpful thing you can do for yourself is if you're on social media, just assume it's not true and go on with your day. And if you want to know more, then you want to investigate and respond.
Well, it's a perfect segue to this segment of the show, which is the keep, stop, start. You know, for you to tell our listeners what they can keep doing, stop doing, and start doing to vote, to participate in democracy. Taking
Wonderful.
Them separately, what would you suggest listeners keep doing?
So if you are someone in the know, I know that it's hard right now. I'm going to ask you, please keep your passion for democracy and for the good of the country. Your desire for that, you know, ever more perfect union, it's critical to create a country where everyone is in the know. So please hold on to that. If you're a new or a current non-voter, go ahead, keep your dreams, keep your ideas, keep that dynamicism inside that I know you have. And then I want you to go to my website. Just go to MeThePeopleVote.com, and everything is there for you to just get your feet wet. There's a homepage video that's just going to walk you through what we offer, and then you can go get my book, which was literally designed to be picked up and put down in between that thing we call living, very short little bursts of info. And I want you to know that I've got your back and that I care about you. I created all of this so that you or someone you love could have these tools that I wish had been there for me. And so if you can just take that deep breath in and that deep breath out, keep all of that right now. And then we'll take you on with what I want you to stop doing.
Well, I just found myself taking a deep breath there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And one keep I would say is just keep participating. You know, democracy is a verb. And I'm sure if they go to your website, you have the link to your Facebook so they can find the welcome parties on Saturday nights.
Everything is right there. So on that first homepage, there's a video that says, welcome, we want you here. And right underneath it, it shows you if you want to hear more and get involved to find stuff. We've got the YouTube video, the YouTube button takes you right to the channel. The 60 Second Civics is right there. You click on it. There's Twitter if you like social media to see what we post on a daily basis. And then click right to the Facebook page, and we pin at the top the date of the next party.
Perfect. So what should listeners stop doing?
So if you're an in-the-know, we talked about this before, my in-the-knowers, I want you to stop wagging your finger in anybody's face, and I want you to retire the shame on you. That's you're going to be so impressed with just stop doing that, how that is going to affect the person that you are desperately trying to turn into the verb of democracy. And if you are a non-voter, what you can stop doing, I'd like you to stop beating yourself up for not voting. And I want you to stop worrying about not being informed enough or getting uncomfortable when the conversation turns to politics. There's so much we can help you with, but that'll go away if you will just stop leaning back so that come to our website, you can stop doing that so you can start finding reasons and ways to lean in. Just put aside that upset, and I guarantee you we can find everything you need to feel comfy in your country.
Well, and one stop that I was thinking of adding is stop thinking your vote doesn't count. I think people are focused so much at the federal level, and they know my vote won't count. But on that same ballot are items, there are ballots, initiatives for your state, there's county, there's judges, there are some special item that the city wants to pass. I had... When I worked for the city of San Jose, they had that needed a 2/3 vote to expand the convention center. Now, San Jose is a very big convention town because it's halfway between the city of San Francisco and Monterey, Pacific Grove, Carmel area. So they're very big. And that 2/3 vote just lost by a hair's breadth. I mean, it was just a handful of votes. So when you think of it in terms of the full ballot, your vote counts more and more as closer it gets to your community. And so what should listeners start doing, Lisa?
Yes, and so what you just had to say, I'm here to tell you, most people don't even know there are local elections. They don't know what those amendments are. They're not aware of they don't have any understanding of that. So part of this work actually cures that problem and lets people who could switch it from that hair's breadth to that overwhelming vote understand what, who, where, how. So the last thing, what you can start doing, if you're in the know, I have a website, meetthepeoplewhovote.com, click around. Offer to throw your own welcome party for people that, like, if you have friends, family, people who don't get voting, offer that to them. Suggest the 60-second civics, something as a jumping-off point for people that around you who don't know. And then if you have any questions on how to do this, email us. I would love to be able to help you reach out to more people so that they'll come in. And then for people who are, for people who are new, same thing. Please come and just check out what we're doing. Know that most people want you in your country. There are people out there with that vested interest. I'm asking you to just ignore them and know that at least one person, that's me, wants you to be comfy in your country, wants you to tap into that dynamicism, and wants you to come join us at meetthepeoplewhovote.com. It's very private or public. You could be as involved by letting people know, or this could be just you and me doing it on your own. Once you get up, you're going to feel completely differently about your country and your place in it.
Well, and I wanted to add more locally, too. The Santa Cruz Indivisible chapter has what they call virtual wine and signed postcard packets. And those packets, people here in Santa Cruz can get. They're $12, and they contain postcards and stamps and instructions and a script for you to fill out. And these are helping Colorado voters, to get out the vote. And they'll be mailed later by the Santa Cruz Indivisible Group. They provide the postcards, and you provide the wine. So I need to...
Well, that's a nice deal.
Isn't that great? I want to thank Be Bold America's engineer, Emily Dunham, and give a huge thank you to our bold guest, Lisa Ann Fontana, also known as Citizen Cupcakes. Thank you again, Lisa, for sharing this hour with us. And again, her website is MeThePeopleVote.com. Next on Be Bold America will be a Democrat and Republican talk number 2, World Lenses, Seeing Through World Lenses and Polarization Industry. Next time on Be Bold America, we'll host that second talk with both of us sharing the primary viewpoint that it's American democracy will not survive if we don't stop tearing ourselves apart from the inside out. Our goal is to model how two people with different points of view might be able to bridge the political divide. To reimagine unity. Our future depends on it. Want to listen to a program later? Find Be Bold America's podcast on KSQD's website and on your favorite podcast platform. You're listening to KSQD Santa Cruz, Many Voices, One Station. Listen worldwide online, ksqd.org. Stay tuned for Reflections on Buddhism. My name is Jill Cody, and thank you for listening to Be Bold America. Until next time, keep, stop, start.